Blog Talk Radio.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed, we are live in Technicolor. Purveyor of political pontification. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network. Good evening, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Glad you could make it tonight. It is Monday, December the 3rd, 2012. It is minus 1 degree Celsius in Calgary tonight. That's about 27 Fahrenheit to our imperial friends. A crisp fall evening with snow on the ground as we head towards the winter equinox, December the 21st, 2012. The moment that all planets of the universe will align along a central line with the center of the universe. Some say it's the end of the world, others say first contact, and some believers that it is truly the end times. So I ask you, what's your opinion? 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, and the phone lines are live tonight. The VOCR have two distinct sectors within the VOCR society. Those that make it for the live show, and those who archive it. Now, currently, our archives are very, very heavy, and our live listeners are light. We hope in time that will change. Now, I know a number of people who archive listen to the schedule as it permits, which is always a good thing. Listening is always good. So, either and or, we sincerely thank you for tuning in, and welcome to the VOCR. Now, we remind those who are live that the phone lines are always open, and those who are listening via archive at a later date, our email address and contact information is on the VOCRradio.com website. We appreciate your contact, and speaking of which, Jeeves, let's check the emails.
Governor.
God, that's so... And I know how Craig Ferguson feels now. We have the first one up is Jesse from Washington State. Our state is about to legalize pot. Could there be legitimate crop opportunities for British Columbia? Well, Jesse, BC pot is somehow transported all down the West Coast, as far down to South America, my understanding is, and has been for years. With the exception of a few strains of Hawaiian and Maui and Jamaican, BC rules the roost, apparently. But remember, it is still federally illegal. And although BC has looked at decriminalizing, it is still in federal jurisdiction. So I doubt that growers would get a government license or authorization to create a legitimate export crop. And although your state is looking at ending the witch hunt for pot smokers, it remains federal jurisdiction as it does here. So, no, BC will not endorse or allow a legal supply to Washington State. But I think there's a fair bet to say that BC will be supplying. Thanks for your email. Karen from the UK. I was given a link to listen to your show and thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. You remind me of the pirate radio era. Wow. Radio London, Radio Caroline, what is your take on the Jimmy Savile mess? Wow, Karen. Well, wow. Talk about memories. Jimmy was a pirate. He arrived at the Beeb after the British government shut down the pirate broadcasters from ships anchored off the coast in international waters off the UK. Rust bucket ships barely afloat with an AM transmitter and the latest honky-tonk voodoo music imaginable. Clandestine deliveries of supplies and more bougie-oogie American music, as well as special guests, shall we say. Jimmy Savile, Terry Wogan, and others were coerced into working for the Beeb and creating Radio 1, 2, and 3. They're legends. Savile was at the top of his game and top of the pops. But as for his sexual proclivities, I heard rumors, but nothing substantial, and definitely no leaked reports from the Beeb. So thanks for jogging my memory, Karen. I truly appreciate that. Wow, pirate radio. Richard from California emailed, why do you announce a phone number when no one calls? Well, Richard, short and sweet answer is we believe in communication. And in such, if one of our live listeners does feel the need to chirp in, they have that ability. You can obviously lead a horse to water. It's up to them if they drink, right? So thanks, Richard. And Jenny in Sydney, Australia. Just got your website link from a friend and I'm hooked. Where do I find a schedule of live shows? I would love that. Well, thanks, Jenny. In the new year, we shall be outlining a weekly schedule for both the VOCR and Night Talk Radio. Throughout December, the shows are going to be a little sporadic as they fit in with my mortal commitments. But Jenny, I'm glad you're on board. If you have a comment or some information you would like to share, and if you are live, the calls, phone lines are live, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And now, a weekly opinion from Guru Says.
Tonight, the VOCR is being relayed around the world with the thanks and blessings of blogtalkradio.com and the Terror Chat Radio Network. As we reach out to other nations and discuss with those who search for information and education, we must be vigilant that we are in a very perilous time, not only with domestic pressures, but international pressures which will, if left unchecked, create havoc in our everyday peaceful world. Irregardless of who would be king, the political bent of the presidency of the United States has little bearing on actions being contemplated, planned, and executed by enemies within and from external sources, those who have taken decades to weaken the Western society's resolve. Bogging down the legal system, imposing laws to supersede ours, minimizing our church and state, removing the Christian roots from the founding fathers' words, removing the right to pledge faith to country and flag. Late today, news broke regarding Syria, moving its chemical weapons arsenal, and threats from Clinton that any use of chemical or biological weaponry or any trading of nefarious organizations such as Al-Qaeda and the Taliban or North Korea would be crossing the red line, and the USA will enter the conflict. However, Clinton declined to say what that would amount to. Would it be air attacks, ground troops, Navy forces, drones, embargoes, blockades? Well, further stories are beginning to surface, and a late story breaking tonight as we go to air from our toot Shiva is really national news. It appears that engineers working for President Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria have begun combining the two chemical precursors needed to weaponize sarin gas. An American official with knowledge of the situation told Wired.com Danger Room on Monday. International observers are now more worried than ever that the Damascus government could use its nerve agent stockpile to slaughter its own people. The U.S. doesn't know why Syria made the move, which began in the middle of last week, by the way, and it's taking place in central Syria. And people are unclear why the Assad government is transferring some weapons to different locations within the country, as New York Times reported on Monday. And now Syria is at the point where they can load this gas cylinders up on a plane and simply drop it. Sarin gas has two main chemical components, isopropanol, popularly known as rubbing alcohol, and methylphosphaline difluoride. And the Assad government has more than 500 metric tons of these precursors, which it ordinarily stores separately in so-called binary form in order to prevent an accidental release of nerve gas. Now, last week, reported Wired.com that something changed. The Syrian military began combing some of the binaries, and they didn't do it to the whole arsenal, just a modest quantity, the official said. And they're not sure what the intent was. Now, back in July, the Assad regime publicly warned that it might use its chemical weapons to stop external forces from interfering with the Syrian bloody civil war. The announcement sparked a panic in the intelligence services of the U.S. and its allies, which stepped up their efforts to block shipments of precursors for those weapons from entering the country, like closing the door when the horses bolted. This, then, was the next signal that was given to the Obama administration to al-Qaeda and the Taliban. They will easily draw the U.S. and allies into another conflict, which will further drain the resources required to energize a nation or an economy. So if Obama goes to war, he would have to nationalize industry. He would have to turn the once mighty industrial base into a war machine, as Britain did in World War II. He would nationalize everything. Control unions, media control through a propaganda wing. Oh, wait. Obama already has those services available to his command. It's called the Executive Order Privilege in the Time of Attack of National Crisis. Executive Order 13063, I think it is. Now, when it hits a fan, each president since the 50s have had the Execution Order privileges to make operational a draconian existence for the masses. Everything of value is seized by the government. Every manufacturing and distribution service is forfeited to the government in order for the government to provide services to the few who would be lucky enough to survive a catastrophic event. The recent assault on the East Coast by the storm Sandy showed the true holes in our peaceful society. Government promises, pledges for aid, and the rebuilding of a corner of America, which has been fiercely independent, although Democrat, for over 100 years. Obama promised money he didn't have, services he would not provide, and help to victims who he did not empathize with. But he got through the election. The government now considered the East Coast to be a FEMA priority, leaving the last carnage of Katrina as a work unfinished and devoid of life where life once stood. I have read the article sent me regarding FEMA camps and the horrible things the Obama administration could do to the American way of life. And I hope that someone has a way of influencing the Electoral College and preventing the crowning of King Obama. Now, it's my understanding that the Electoral College votes on December the 15th. They certify their votes, and if 20 states refuse to certify, then the election is placed in the hands of Congress, as laid out by the Founding Fathers in the U.S. Constitution. So that the ruling House party, the Republicans, shall elect the President, and the Senate, the Democrats, shall elect a Vice President. Would America accept such a move? Would it be seen as a coup to our enemies? Could another president change the course of the once mighty ship, America? Since the inception of the Internet, conspiracies and theories have plagued open source information. Snopes and a few others do a great job sniffing out the bullshit, but not all have managed to make it onto the watch list until it has been read by thousands. Prime example was the fake lottery ticket that if you liked them on Facebook, you would share in the prize. Every so often, I slip into audio chat rooms, and last weekend was no exception. I was surprised to hear that the old Yahoo chat rooms are closing forever, apparently as of mid-December. And of course, it is like rats deserting a sinking ship, watching old names and voices attempt to impose their vicious and nasty narrow-minded filth on other chat services such as PalTalk. I was lucky I escaped their depravity, leaving Yahoo Chat over 10 years ago, and have cruised and bruised in PalTalk ever since and quite enjoyed it. And I continue to hold the hope that meaningful conversations will someday take place on audio chat instead of low-level character assassinations or hillbilly redneck mentality to multicultured societies. January will certainly be interesting, and until Obama is inaugurated on January the 20th, I continue to hold out hope, and I use that word carefully, hope. I continue to hold out hope that legal means can be found to prevent January the 20th's occasion. I am Guru.
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question unless Hawaii verifies he was born there.
The Rockets midnight, when we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com. On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And we welcome all of the guests down in the virtual studio. If you're looking for the virtual studio, come to blogtalkradio.com. Come on to the TerraChatNet website and simply click on the Talk to Chat button and come down into our virtual studio. Now, remember, you have to register as a listener. If you come down as a guest, yes, you can listen, but you cannot interact. Now, if you register as a listener, you can interact in the virtual studio as we are on the air. After the November elections, we saw and heard Democrats puffing out their chests, proclaiming a victory for Obama and the American people, when in reality it seemed to be anything but a victory. America further separated into distinct political followings. Obama failed to bring all together and seems to be prepared to step off the fiscal cliff in hopes it will favor elections of the House and Senate to gain full control. Could any other candidate have done a better job and removed Obama from office? And what happens now to Romney? Well, Mitt Romney has rejoined the board of directors for Marriott International. Romney has already served twice as the hotel chain's board. His first run was from 1993 to 2002, when he left in a successful bid to become the governor of Massachusetts. The second was from January 2009 until January 2011, when he resigned prior to his unsuccessful campaign for the presidency. The suburban Maryland-based company has more than 3,700 properties in 74 countries and territories, with reported revenue of roughly $12 billion in fiscal 2011. Romney has said, "It is an honor to once again be able to serve in the company of leaders like Bill Marriott and Arne Sorensen, and to support the work of the tens and thousands of Marriott associates to make Marriott International the renowned success that it is." Another story, I was very surprised to learn that Israel said on Sunday it was withholding this month's transfer of tax revenues to the Palestinian Authority after the United Nations de facto recognition of a Palestinian state. Now, under the interim peace deals, which Israel says the Palestinians violated by unilaterally seeking an upgrade of the status of the United States, it collects about $100 million a month in duties on behalf of the authority. But Israel officials said the authority owes them about $200 million to the Israeli Electric Company, and that money will now be deducted from the tax transfers to pay the bills owed. So, do you believe that a peaceful existence can be found in the Middle East? 347-324-3287. Here's a story out of Cairo. Syrian Foreign Ministry spokesman Jihad Makdisi has defected from President Bashar al-Assad's government and left the country. It's crumbling bit by bit, huh? I just hope he doesn't use the chemical nasties, because I'm not quite sure what the reaction will be from those that are not quite in favor of Assad right now. And apparently Russia, fearing the Mayan doomsday, to the point that the government have had to go on national television and assure everybody that the world will not end on December the 21st, 2012. Now, if you're growing increasingly worried the Mayan doomsday is approaching, you're not alone. And you've likely got a Russian comrade suffering the same fears. The New York Times is reporting the end of the world anxiety has Russians so tightly in its grip that the Russian government felt the need to address the situation. According to the Times report, Russian Minister of Emergency Situations Vladimir Pukhov reassured the country's citizens on Friday he is sure the world will not end in December, and that he had access to methods of monitoring what is occurring on the planet Earth. Now, Pushkov did admit, however, that Russians are still vulnerable to blizzards, ice storms, tornadoes, floods, and trouble with transportation and food supply, breakdowns in heat and electricity and water supplies. So December the 21st, 2012 marks the end of the Mayan calendar, and some doomsday believers predict the world will come to a calamitous end that day. What do you think? 347-324-3287 if you got the urge to merge. Although scientists have tried hard to counter the apocalyptic predictions, thousands of people across Russia are preparing for the worst. According to Russia Today, some have stocked their back rooms and balconies with food, fuel, and other supplies, while others have decided to move away from large cities. The website even reports a Siberian company has decided to seize the moment by selling end-of-the-world survival kits, which include medication, heart medicine, soap, candles, and matches, vodka, of course, a can of fish, a pack of buckwheat, a bottle of vodka, now I don't know if that's two vodkas, but that's not bad, a notepad and a pencil, a game of cards and a rope. And now, while the company has already sold more than 1,000 kits, it emphasizes that its product is to be taken with a pinch of salt, according to the RT.com. A really strange story kind of caught my eye yesterday, and I've revalidated the story today. A town in Louisiana has been evacuated after officials discovered, now it says 6 MLB, so I'm presuming that's 6 million pounds of explosive material that they say were stored illegally. State police found the stockpile of M6 artillery propellant stacked outdoors and without authorization in buildings in the 800-inhabitant town of Doyline. The discovery was made by officials during a follow-up inspection after a blasted Explo Systems in October. Officials expect to work over the next 2 days to secure these explosives. But police officials have said the operation might be suspended if lightning is seen within 5 miles of the site. You think? Now, thunderstorms are forecast for Tuesday, and on Monday there was some light rain, but no lightning had been reported. Schools in Doyline were closed on Monday and are expected to remain shut on Tuesday, according to WAFB. And thank you for the report. Story out of Seoul, North Korea. They have installed the first stage of a long-range rocket it plans to launch this month on the launch pad, defying international calls to cancel the mission. North Korea announced on Saturday that it would carry out its second long-range rocket launch this year between December the 10th and the 22nd. The U.S. and its key Asian allies, South Korea and Japan, have condemned the launch as a disguised ballistic missile test, which violates U.N. resolutions triggered by Pyongyang's two nuclear tests in 2006 and 2009. The first stage has been placed in position at the North SOA satellite launch station, a South Korean government source told Yonhap News Agency. Japan canceled scheduled diplomatic talks with North Korea and has reportedly issued orders to shoot down the missile if it strays into Japanese territory. North Korea insists it is a purely peaceful scientific mission aimed at placing a polar orbiting Earth observation satellite in orbit. In a notification to neighboring countries, Pyongyang said that the launch timing would be between 7 a.m. and midday local time on any day in the given window. Yonhap quoted a foreign ministry official on that. And according to the notice, the first stage could fall into the Yellow Sea off the Korean Peninsula's west coast, and the second would come down in the sea some 190 kilometers east of the Philippines. Oh, isn't that yummy? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, do I smell trouble.
Time for a break. We'll be right back.
You hope to change, man. You hope to change minds. Constitutional liberty. Get out. You got to get out.
Got an opinion? Want to make a statement? Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
We're a nation of immigrants. We're the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the ones who wanted a better life. The driven ones. The ones who woke up at night hearing that voice telling them that life in the place called America could be better. They came not just in pursuit of the riches of this world, but for the richness of this life. Freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom to speak their mind. Freedom to build a life. And yes, freedom to build a business with their own hands.
can reform our tax code in a way that is fair and responsible. Which, by the way, means let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America.
On Air Live, 347-324-3287. Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification, Colin Knight.
And as we read through the various stories that are sent to us from either our links for special events or from our good listeners and readers, as we rake through these emails looking for those gems to be able to bring you a report on, I found a story out of Los Angeles, which I found very, very interesting because mainstream media, for some reason, non-political, I think, choose to mostly ignore the story. Freighters with no place to unload their cargo lined up at anchorages off Los Angeles and Long Beach for a seventh day on Monday. As shippers and striking clerks resume talks to end a labor dispute that has idled most of America's biggest container port complex, the two sides remained at loggerheads over the future of union representation for clerical jobs after individuals retire from those jobs. But the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 63 has so far resisted calls for outside mediation. The 800-member Clerical Workers Unit of the ILWU Local walked off the job last Tuesday with some 10,000 longshoremen and other union members refusing to cross the picket lines, forcing a shutdown of 10 of the twin ports, 14 container terminals. Four other container terminals remained open, along with facilities for handling shipments of automobiles, liquid fuels, and break bulk cargo, such as raw steel. The overall economic impact of the strike has been estimated to run a more than $1 billion a day, including lost wages of dock workers, truckers, and other idled by the walkout, and the value of cargo rerouted by shippers. Now, the strike has prompted at least 11 freighters to take their cargo to other ports in Northern California, Mexico, and Panama. Now, this is according to a non-profit maritime exchange of Southern California. Apparently, they track shipping traffic information in the region. Another 11 ships were waiting at the anchorages outside of Los Angeles, unable to discharge their cargo. Although the strike began after the busy pre-holiday shipping season, the diversion of freight originally bound for Los Angeles and Long Beach has heightened growing concerns about Southern California losing business to the ports. Apparently, our reader and listenership is growing as we get these types of stories in that do not make it to page one and clearly don't get covered by any of the news media. And everything is fine and dandy and wonderful out there. But it is not. Freight is not moving. Houston, we have a problem. Now, apparently, our reader and listenership is growing. We're reaching into China and Russia, into the Philippines, or at least on their security services watch list we are. Their sniffer programs are working overtime as we go to air each week. Russian contact is getting exciting as the Russian bear opens the Iron Curtain, revealing a culturally starved nation. Students who thirst for historical knowledge of what really happened while they have been alive. Physicists, cut off from the world, suddenly thrust into the 21st century, like a time leap forward to our knowledge. Yet, they bring some very advanced ideas and proven tests of amazing things. The most recent advancement to our worldwide military is, of course, cybernetics. Cybernauts, cyber troops. War has now been defined as a war of autonomous weapon technology. Drones and robots and the human factor is about to be taken out of the equation. Or is it? Recent documents released by the Department of Defense explains that a prohibition of autonomous attack drones, armed drones without a human master, prevents them from being deployed. But I summarize that autonomous drones with attack commands continue to exist. The massive military-industrial machine is at least 30 years ahead of technology. What is talked about today is already being tested in some ultra-secret location. Story coming out from NASA, and we don't get much information from NASA, but pretty impressive. Mars rover Curiosity, it's done it again. It was dispatched to look for the chemical ingredients and environments for microbial life, and it has found traces of compounds containing carbon, an essential building block of life. This information released late on Monday. Even the carbon and water, life needs other chemicals, such as sulfur, oxygen, phosphorus, nitrogen, to form and evolve. The rover, which touched down in August on the floor of the 93-mile-wide impact crater near the Martian equator, has already turned up evidence that its landing site was once covered in water. Now, scientists do not know if the carbon compounds are in the soil or contamination from Earth. Did they arrive on the surface of Mars via comets and asteroids, or if they are indigenous or came from geological or biological activities on Mars? The rover is expected to reach a rich slice of Martian history next year when it begins examining layers of sediment in a mountain rising from the floor of the crater. Amazing, isn't it? We still can't cure a common cold, yet we can control a rover on Mars.
We'll be right back, right after this quick station break. Got an opinion? Want to make a statement? Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com. Opinion 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. The phone lines are open. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Guru Nostra.
And here's an interesting story out of Belfast, which you don't hear much about anymore, a protest mob has stormed into the grounds of the Belfast City Hall and clashed with police after the council's Catholic majority voted to remove the British flag from the building for most of the year. Police say five police officers and two security guards were injured during Monday night's melee outside the City Hall. More than 1,000 protestants had rallied outside as the council voted 29-21 to remove the Union Jack from the building for all but 17 official days each year. The British flag has flown continuously from the City Hall's dome for more than a century. Now, some in the crowd smashed through locked gates, vandalized staff cars, and fought with police, and officers responded with, of course, batons a-swinging. You don't expect a story like that to come out of Belfast. The stories that come out of Northern Ireland usually have an IRA Sinn Féin name tag to them. But this one was the people standing up to prevent a council from changing an ancient tradition. And for once, in a very, very long while, we see people actually standing up and defending a flag. Something we don't see much of anymore. A story coming out of the United States regarding their Defense Intelligence Agency service. In an ambitious plan to transform the Defense Intelligence Agency into one of nation's premier espionage networks, the Pentagon is sending hundreds of spies overseas. Once the program is complete, the DIA will become a spy service focused on emergency threats and aligning with intelligence operators like the CIA and elite military commando units. This is not a marginal adjustment for DIA, according to the agency's director, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. He announced at a recent conference where he outlined the plan's broad strokes. "It is a major adjustment for national security," he said. "Once complete, the DIA will have roughly 1,600 collectors in around the world. Now, that includes military attaches and intelligence operatives who not work undercover. However, the main growth will be the recruiting clandestine operatives to be trained by the CIA to work alongside the U.S. Joint Special Operations Command. Their assignments will be ordered and controlled by the Department of Defense." So what does that tell us? What does that tell us that we need to know? Another secret intelligence agency? Isn't that what the CIA was supposed to be?
This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
"We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question unless Hawaii verifies he was born there."
The Rockets led by example. We took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
"Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth."
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets. On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
"Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up."
"Now,
And just to..."
We now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and there choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com for more information. We'll be right back with more of Open Lines. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com.
Here at the VOCR, we do appreciate viewers and readers' email. We hope if you have something you wish to say, statement you wish to make, an opinion you wish to render, then you send the email to VOCR2012@gmail.com and we'll get it on the blog.
This is VOCR Radio, and I'm Guru Nostrum. On air live, 347-324-3287. In the dead of night, when all is dark, and all your daytime worries creep over you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you, in the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls, in the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? Returning for yet another season, Night Talk Radio, Alpha Waves to Zulu Time. Night Talk takes you into the paranormal, extraterrestrial, murky waters of investigations. Join Colin Knight weekly on Night Talk Radio. Check it out, nighttalkradio.com. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Got something on your mind? Need to get something off your chest? Interested in a debate? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
As I said earlier, I was recently in audio chat, and I have to say that I was very, very surprised that the Republican versus Democrat fight was still underway. I was very, very surprised listening to who was to blame and why did it happen. Some of the chatters that have a little long in the tooth, that have a few years of history behind them, were able to straighten out those that had a very warped view of how the United States, or the world for that matter, ended up in the condition that it is in today. And you can move further back in time and come up with very logical reasons and mistakes that our ancestors may have made in the development of their country and their nation and their people. There are difficult times in our past where decisions were made that, if looked at again today, would be made very, very differently. But hindsight is a wonderful thing. When you are in the thick of battle, whether it be political or physical, you have decisions to make for the betterment of society. And the problem with the fiscal cliff, as they speak about, is basically because every government has kicked the can down the road, and finally the can just can't be kicked anymore. It has to be dealt with. The road is ended. And that's where the problem is that the accumulation of debt that Barack Hussein Obama now has, and who is asking to create more debt and attempt to spend his way out of this recession, that accumulation of debt is from many presidencies, and arguably dating back to the New Plan, coming out of the last depression. Arguably the money has been kicked down the road since then. And that be the problem, is the system finally expelled itself. The system finally said, I don't have any more leeway in the system here, so I'm going to shed some weight. And unfortunately, governments have prevented the system from self-correcting. And yes, that would mean some very hard times for a lot of people. And a lot of people would get financially wiped out. But that's what the system is designed to do. And that is what the governments are trying to prevent the system from doing. And it's a very difficult task when you have built everything around a financial system and that system begins to fail. Then it becomes almost like a ripple effect in a lake. And it may start as a little ripple, but it may end up as a tsunami. And that is the biggest problem, is control and controlling. And unfortunately, Geithner and Obama, in my opinion, do not have the correct way of doing things. You cannot print money. You cannot print yourself out of debt. Sooner or later, that money will devalue. We have seen the imbalance of the Canadian dollar against the United States dollar. Canada services the United States requirements very, very healthily, round about an 80 cent Canadian to the American dollar. That is about our optimum window where we can make a killing on American services. Unfortunately, that is not the case currently, or within the last few days, and again probably by the end of the week. The Canadian dollar will be on par, if not higher, than the American dollar, which makes it very difficult for cross-border traveling and cross-border shopping. However, Americans could have a bonus coming to Canada and buying with their dollar. You never know, huh? We'll see. But it's a slippery slope as we look at the financial economics of the United States and Canada. We rely on the United States. Without the United States, we do not have a solid export program. And that's why the Prime Minister of Canada has been traveling around Asia, forming alliances and allegiances and trade agreements with the likes of India in order to bolster a secondary avenue of export possibilities. Because Obama doesn't seem to be interested in dealing with the fiscal cliff. I think he is more interested with managing the reset and blaming somebody else for his troubles. I think that's where the problem is I think the White House and the likes are still playing politics. They still believe they're in election mode.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. You didn't build that. You didn't build that.
Oh, 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 oh.
You didn't build that.
What do we got here?
It's an airplane for shooting marshmallows.
You didn't build that.
Mitt Romney strikes me so hard, makes me feel like Shirley Chirac.
Out of context.
Those words aren't mine.
The private sector is doing fine.
Feels good when the economy's weak.
Responding with a national security leak.
Osama bin Laden,
I killed.
And that was a mission
you didn't build.
A Supreme Court ruling being heralded as the most important since Bush versus Gore in 2000.
So the bottom line here is the Supreme Court has upheld the health care law.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
This is the VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network.
America's on the wrong track, but Mitt Romney and I will take the right steps in the right time
to get us back on the right track. I believe that my record of getting things done in Congress will be a very helpful compliment to Governor Romney's executive and private sector success outside of Washington. I've worked closely with Republicans as well as Democrats to advance an agenda of economic growth, fiscal discipline, and job creation. I'm proud to stand with a man who understands what it takes to foster job creation in our economy. Someone who knows from experience that if you have a small business, you did build that.
This year, in this election, we are called to reaffirm our values and our commitments, to hold them against a hard reality, and see how we're measuring up to the legacy of our forebears and the promise of future generations. And fellow Americans, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, I say to you tonight, we have more work to do.
That America is a place where if you work hard and play by the rules, you can get ahead.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And the reality of life with the social economic well-being of the West is that there does need to be an injection. But it does not have to be an injection of government money. It has to be a reevaluation of the American dream. You know, when I was a kid, I used to watch as the TV was closing down for the day. After God Save the Gracious Queen was played, they would then show children gathered round an American flag, pledging allegiance to that flag and to its country. And that was the dream of America that everybody had around the world, that there would be a country out there on this earth that would provide such freedom and such peace that people could escape the mayhem and destruction of those who have no intention of allowing their people to live in freedom and peace. That is the dream I had. That's the belief I had for America. That's what I thought America was all about. And the people I have met that are American are some of the finest people walking this planet. And it is my hope that the energy will resurface of the American people, and they will do what they have to do to be the greatest nation on earth once again.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared now. Then I heard a loud voice call from the throne. You see this city? Here God lives among men. He will make his home among them. His name is God with them. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning or sadness. The world of the past has gone. Terrorchatnet.com.